This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the class of Akhlaq. Today, inshallah, we'll talk about the importance of participating in gathering for learning. It's important to discipline ourselves once we attend or participate in a gathering of learning. This could happen every day or once a week or once a month. So it is important for us to know how to attend or participate in these gatherings for learning. We mentioned a few things last time, and today, inshallah, we are continuing. Imam al-Hazm rahimahullah says, you should never inquire obstinately or rebut arrogantly as one who wants to win without real knowledge. It's all about intentions. Why you are rebutting? Why you are asking? Do you want to tell the people that this person has no knowledge and I have more knowledge than him? Or you're asking, as the Imam al-Hazm rahimahullah mentioned, you're asking to know the answer as the student of knowledge. So you should never inquire as one who's arrogant. If you know the answer, do not ask. Because your purpose, again, is to benefit, to learn and teach as well. And this will not happen if you are arrogant or if you ask about things that you know whether he doesn't have the answer or he will answer with the wrong answer or you don't even need this answer. So your purpose, if you have a debate, if you have a dispute, you have argument, your purpose always is to reach the right thing, the truth, the haqq. That should be your purpose. Therefore, Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, he had pure intention. He used to say, مَا نَظَرْتُ أَحَدًا إِلَّا وَرَجَوْتُ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ الْحَقَّ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. Whenever I have a debate with someone, I wished if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the truth become clear on his hands or on his mouth. This is a pure intention. That's how your intention should be. Your intention should not be, oh, subhanallah, he had the correct answer and I did not have it. And you will work hard just to prove that he is wrong. Because what will happen now? You and your friend, you had two different opinions. And later on you found out that he had the correct opinion. People, you don't like people to say he was right and you were wrong. So now what you will do? You will try to find any proof to support what you said. While you know that it was not correct. So now instead of working to find the truth, you'll work to support your own opinion. You'll work for your own desires, which is wrong. So therefore, it's really important. It's really important. The intention, before you post any question, before you start any argument or debate, why you are doing this? Is it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to please your own self, your own nafs? He says, rahimahullah, this is a wicked character. And it indicates that one has too little religious conviction. Of course, if you have pure heart, pure intention, you will not do that. People who do that, you will know that they don't have strong conviction in the religion. Too much meddling, dim-wittedness and great foolishness. Again, you're wasting your time. And you're losing hasanat by doing this. Your intention always should be reaching the correct thing, the truth. That's your purpose, that's your intention. For us, God suffices and He is the best disposer of affairs. وَحَسْبَنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. So that's the chapter about participating in gatherings for learning. Now, this is additional chapter for the previous section. He says, if you encounter a speech or read the passage in a book, then you must not deal with them with anger that gives rise to ferocious rebuttal before you clearly establish their falsehood by irrefutable argument. Okay, this is again a very important point. You have a book, and once you see the name, oh, subhanAllah, I don't like it. Why you don't like it? You did not even read it. It doesn't look good. Or, on the other hand, you like someone, so whatever he says, you agree with it. Imam al-Hazm rahimahullah is telling you, do not do that. If you encounter speech or read a passage in a book, then you must not deal with them with anger. You don't deal with them with anger just because you don't like the person. Because many times, even the people we hate, they tell things which are correct. The Prophet ﷺ gave that lesson to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Abu Huraira was the guard for the zakah, for the charities. And the shaitan came 3 times. He was stealing dates from the charity. First time, he let him go because the shaitan lied. He told him, I have children and I want to feed them. The second time, he also felt sorry for him. But the third time, he said, no, I will not leave you. You came 3 times. So the shaitan told him, I will teach you something if you let me go. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he let him go. He told him, if you read Ayatul Kursi before you sleep, there will be a guard protecting you. So Abu Huraira came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew, even before Abu Huraira tells him, knew that there was a shaitan coming to Abu Huraira. That's why he used to ask him. Before even Abu Huraira tells him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to ask him, what did your companion do? Means the one who came in the night. So Abu Huraira, the third time, he told him, O Messenger of Allah, he taught me something. If I read Ayatul Kursi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not tell him, oh, he's shaitan, so he's a liar. He told him, he told you the truth while he is a liar. Although he is a liar, but he said the truth in that particular thing. So you should not deal with anything with anger. Be objective. Judge the writings, not the writer. Judge the words, not the one who said them. So you do not deal with them with anger. You have something, you believe it's wrong, try to refute it. Try to put aside your feelings. Also, you should not treat them with belief and acceptance before you establish their truth by irrefutable argument. The same thing. Do not... The bottom line here, in this statement of the Imam Rahimahullah, is do not overreact. Do not overreact. Control yourself. Again, even if you love someone, and mashallah, he has lots of knowledge. All human beings, as the Messenger ﷺ said, كل ابن آدم خطأ. All of them, they make mistakes. They err. All of them. No exceptions. So since we all make mistakes, maybe there was a mistake. But when you take everything for granted just because you love him, you may accepting something which is wrong. So you do not overreact. Be objective and judge the writing, not the writer. Do not be extreme, whether extremely angry or extremely happy. And why? Again, as I told you, many people, they use wrong judgments just because it looks good. Or even the speaker, mashallah, he has nice voice. But what about the words if they were wrong? Or he looks nice, mashallah. You judge the speech itself, the words, the letter, the book. Otherwise, what will happen? That's what the Imam is saying. Otherwise, either way, you would be unfair to yourself and drive it away from the truth. That's what will happen. Because you overreacted. You judged according to your feelings, not according to the writings. But you should deal with them with neutral mind that is not inclined against or for them. Even if you know he said 10 things and all of them correct, maybe the 11th would be wrong. So you judge it the same way. Yes, mashallah, you could say that he is good, but that does not mean everything is correct automatically. Or you hated someone, that means everything he has is wrong. Learn from the story of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Even the shaitan himself, he was right one time. The shaitan himself, the Prophet ﷺ told Abu Huraira, he told you the truth. What are you writing? You have all this. This is the text. I did not write anything extra. You have this text. So I don't know what you're writing.
Which text?
Just text of Ibn Hazm, the book. Here he says, you should deal with them with the mind of someone who wants to learn from what he hears and reads. That's how your intention should be. Again, it's important. The intention is really important. If your intention is to learn, then whatever you found which is correct, you will take it. Whatever you found which is wrong, you will leave it. Because you want to learn. This way, you would increase your knowledge. That's the way you will increase your knowledge. To accept what you hear and read if it's correct, or to reject if it's wrong, guarantees for you ample reward, plentiful praise, and great benefit. So again, what you will get if you become objective? Plentiful praise, great benefit, ample reward. You'll get lots of things. So most importantly, in this life, you will get the knowledge, and in the hereafter, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because your intention was correct. Your intention was to learn. Your intention was not to judge people, to credit this one and discredit that one. Your intention was to learn. Now, we are moving to the second chapter, which is the beginning of the book. مُدَاوَاتُ النُّفُوسِ وَإِصْلَاحُ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Healing the souls and improving the morals. Imam Ibn Hazm rahimahullah says, the pleasure of the rational in his comprehension, the pleasure of the learned in his knowledge, the pleasure of the wise in his wisdom, and the pleasure of the devout in his devotion to Allah are greater than the pleasure of the eater in his food, of the drinker in his drink, and of the gainer in his profit. It's as if he's telling you, if you pray for 2 hours, it's better than to play for 2 hours. If you read the Quran for 2 hours, it's better than you trade and make money for 2 hours. It doesn't seem right, but that's what he says. That's what he believes. And I actually agree with him. If you spend time in learning, it's better than spending time in playing. Why? He gave and he provided the answer. He said, the proof of this is that the wise, the rational, and the learned are aware of the other pleasure and capable of feeling them as the one who seeks them. But they abandoned and forsook them and preferred to seek the virtues. Now the one who prays, he is praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was able to be outside and play. You came here, you wanted to seek knowledge while you were able to be somewhere else. What brought you here? You wanted to seek knowledge. But do you feel that this is better than being there outside? Do you feel that you're more happy here and while you are outside? You may say, no, I don't feel I'm happy, just like the one who takes the medicine while it's awful, it tastes awful, but he has to. I would tell you, no, even the taste is better. Why? Again, he provided the answer. The one who can judge between two things or two matters is the one who knows both of them, and not the one who knows one matter and does not know the other. That's why. The one who is spending time in prayer, he already experienced and he already played, but he chose to pray. That means he loves prayer more than playing. Otherwise, he would be there. But the one who always plays, he never prayed, he cannot judge. The one who can judge is the one who examined the two things. That's why many times non-Muslims come and ask, do you drink? No. Do you smoke? No. Do you date? Do you have boyfriend, girlfriend? And you say no. And they say, what are you doing? Your life is miserable. That's what they think. And poor people they are, because they did not experience, they did not taste the life of straightforwardness. They did not taste the life of belief. That's all what they focus on. Because if they tried to spend time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will never leave it. That's why one of the pious predecessors, he said, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْمُلُوكُ وَأَبْنَاءُ الْمُلُوكُ مَا نَحْنُ عَلَيْهِ لَجَالَدُونَ بِالسُّيُوفِ. If the kings and the sons of the kings, they knew what happiness we are in, they would fight us just to take this from us. They were more happier than the kings. When you fast, you enjoy fasting. You are enjoying it. Because you are able not to fast. Yes, food is delicious, mashallah, and you like to eat, but when you're away, willingly, you are tasting this ibadah. So the same thing, the one who seeks knowledge, he's happy in knowledge because he already examined the other thing. Imam Shafi'i, rahimullah, he said, it's more lovelier to me to spend the night finding the answer for one issue, seeking knowledge, than having a bride brought for me, than marrying. The same thing Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu said. Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu, he said, to stay awake in the night, in a cold night, on the borders, protecting the Muslim land, is more lovelier to me than spending the night on a warm, nice bed with my wife. Now he tested that thing and he tested this thing as well. So the one who is able to judge is the one who examined the two matters, not the one who is in one matter. How can you judge something you don't know? And that's why those people, those poor people, they are deprived. They think that they are happy and we are deprived. But actually, they are miserable because they did not examine, they did not taste the life of Iman. All what they care about is their desires. Drinking, smoking, listening to music, wasting their time, having unlawful relationships. But once they try to be straightforward, once they try to be on the correct path, they will not leave it. That's why many non-Muslims are becoming Muslims. How many Muslims do we have? They are leaving Islam. While we have many non-Muslims are becoming Muslims. So that's the reality of the matter. But many people, they don't think about it this way. If you seek all things, now this is another thing, the Imam Rahimahullah is telling you, if you seek all things, they will elude you. And the end result will be the loss of the affairs of this world. The truth is in working for the hereafter only. Now many people, they want to do everything. They want to do everything. If someone, this is the thing, what if someone enrolled himself in 5 schools at one time? He said, you know, to become a doctor is very good. And to become an engineer is also excellent. And to become a pilot and to join the military, and he enrolled in all these things. What will happen to him? What do you think? He will fail in all of them. Right? Because you cannot do everything. So, unfortunately, some people, that's what they are trying to do. Here and there, eventually, they will do nothing. So, do not try to do everything. Focus on one thing. And what is that thing? Imam Hazm Rahimullah told you, to work for the hereafter. To work for the hereafter. Now, do not understand from this that working for the hereafter means you leave all schools and you are 24 hours in the masjid. Having a major, this is working for the hereafter. Studying, this is working for the hereafter. But that should be your main goal. Your highest ambition is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because every worldly gain, now why don't you spend more time with your life in things that are in this world? He provided the answer. Because every worldly gain you make will be followed by sorrow. Every worldly gain. People spend years just to pay off the mortgage. People save money for 5-6 years just to purchase a nice car. But the Imam is telling you, eventually, what you will have is sorrow. That's weird, but he gave the answer. He told you why. Either by its removal from you, or your removal from it when you die. There is no escape. There is no escape from one of these things, save laboring for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You work 30 years just to pay off your mortgage, and you may not. What happens? You will die. So you left. You worked 30 years for something that you left it. Or it was taken from you, you sold it. Or your children took it from you, or whatever. One thing will happen, whether you leave it or it will leave you. when you die. However, when you work for the sake of Allah, one prayer, it will be in your record. And it will be waiting for you in the Day of Judgment. That's why you should focus on working for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's what will count. That's what will remain. Every other thing, even those who spend years saving their money just to purchase a car, what will happen? They will use it for a couple of years and then what? They are bored. Now they want something else, something new. You save $200 to purchase this phone, this nice cell phone, and then another cell phone came. And now you want to purchase another one. That's how people are running in this life. While when you work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will be saved for you. It will be kept for you. The consequences of such labor is joy in the short and long term. In the short and long term, now you could understand that the joy for the long term, which is happiness in the hereafter and the hasanat. But what about the short term? What about this life? We think people are miserable if they don't have a nice phone or a nice car. Imam is telling you, no, even in this life you're happy. How? He said, in the short term, it's to worry less about what occupies people. Now look at the people who follow up everything coming in the news, magazines, TV. They like cell phones, and that's all what they care about. Every 2 months, they want to change their cell phone. While the one who does not care, he wants only to make a phone call. So he's not worried. He doesn't spend much time. The one who spends all his time on cars, the same thing. This make, these are the features, this is the model, these are the changes. Then another thing came and he spent more time on that. He spent more time on that while the one who doesn't care, he just wants some method of transportation to take him from this point to that point. He did not spend that time. He has something else to work on. So he is less worried. He is less worried. While people are consuming, the consumer is always, he's always willing to have something new. I had it. Then, few days, few months, few years later, you want something else. So who's really happy? The one who did not care about it. Because he did not spend much time. So it's, in the short term, it's to worry less about what occupies people. And in the long term, it's paradise. He's telling you it will lead you to paradise. Unfortunately, some people tell you, yes, to be dedicated and practicing Muslim is good, but only for the hereafter. You will live miserably. Actually, no, you will live very, very happy. Many people, they don't have lots of money, but they are happy. Because happiness is not only in money. Money could bring you some happiness. Many people who have millions of dollars, they are living a miserable life. And they end up committing suicide. Why? What happened to the money? It's not about money. What do you have in your heart? How you are spending your time? If you spend it in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will have the joy in this life also. The rational does not see a price for his soul other than paradise. That's the rational. If you have a sane mind, you don't waste your soul for something less than paradise. You don't accept something less than paradise. Paradise should be the price for your soul. So when your life ends, where will your soul go? Is it going to paradise or to hellfire? Wal'iyadu billah. If it's going to paradise, then you are rational. Actually, there is a man, one of the pious predecessors. The soldiers of the Khalifa with an inmate came and passed by him. So he stood up. And his students looked at him. They were surprised. Why you stood up for that convicted person? You showed respect to him. He said, well, he spent his life, he's paying his life for his desire. I have to respect him. Because Allah commanded us to spend our life to please Him, and many times we don't do it. He spent His life paying His life as a price for His own desires. So why don't you want me to respect Him? He was so dedicated, but unfortunately He was dedicated the other way. But at least He had the courage to do that. He knew that this is the punishment, yet He did it. While we know the reward, unfortunately sometimes we don't do it. So Imam al-Hazm rahimahullah is telling you the true rational. The rational is the one who sees paradise is the only price for his soul. You should not settle for less than paradise. Satan profits by frightening people from being accused of obstinateness. Means showing off. Obstinateness, nifaq. Satan profits by frightening people from being accused of obstinateness. For a person might avoid doing that which is good for fear of being considered obstinateness. He's telling you here, many times you want to do something good, but Satan comes to you and he tells you don't do it. Why? People will say that you are showing off. This happens many times. So you end up not doing the good deed. Who won eventually? The shaitan. Because he stopped you from doing the right thing. So what's the solution? To show off? No, that's not what the Imam is telling you. He's telling you purify your intention. And afterwards, as long as the intention is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't care about what people say. Whatever they say, they may accuse you. He's showing off, he's doing this. You know your intention? Do it. Don't be the victim of the shaitan. Because eventually he will win if you listen to him. If he came and said, oh, don't do it, people will think that you are showing off. You wanted to give money in charity, and he came to you and he will tell you, look, everybody's watching you. They will say that you're showing off. So what you'll do? Oh, yeah, you're right, so you don't pay. Eventually you did not do the charity. Shaitan won. So you have to be smart. Purify your intention and then you don't care whatever the shaitan would say. You wanted to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that that's your intention? Whatever people say, you don't care. Don't let the shaitan stop you from doing the good deed by giving you false whispering that you are showing off or you are hypocrite. Another section now, rationality and peace of mind. Al-aql wal-raha. Whoever believes that he can totally avoid people's scorn and criticism is mad. This is a very nice statement by the Imam, rahimahullah. If you think that no one will criticize you, you're crazy. That's what he's telling you. You are crazy. So why people become so offended or they get very, very upset if they were criticized? Imam rahimahullah is telling you that's the nature. That will happen. Are you better than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Are you better than him? Was he criticized or he wasn't? He was criticized. He was accused of many things. So who you are to feel that you're offended or to be angry when someone criticizes you? If you think you will be protected from criticism, from people's scorn, you are crazy. You are mad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, people criticize him. People disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's the creator. So who you are? So he's telling you, do not think that you will not be criticized. Some people, their job is only to criticize people. In the Arabic folklore, there is a funny personality, Juha. They say this man, Juha, he was once with his son. And they had a donkey with them. And they passed by people. So Juha was riding the donkey. And his son was walking. What did people say? Look at this ruthless father. He's riding the donkey and he left his son walking. He doesn't love his son. So Juha said, next time he came, and he put his son on the donkey and he was walking. What did people say? Look at this undutiful son. He disrespected his father. He's on the donkey and his father, he let his father walking. Next time Juha came and he was riding the donkey with his son. So the people said, look at those people. They don't have mercy. Two people on one donkey. What are these people? So Juha did not know what to do. Last time, Juha on the left and his son on the right, and the donkey was without any ride. So people said, look at those crazy people. They have donkey and no one is riding. So whatever you do, people will criticize you. Whatever you do, people will criticize you. So if you want to listen to them, believe me, you will never please them. So it's better to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people will be pleased with you. Do not think for one second that you will be protected from criticism. You prepared it and you did it very well, yet you have someone who's nitpicking, who said this is wrong. That's fine. This is the nature of life. There will be people who will criticize you. Whoever examines matters carefully and disciplines himself to rely on the facts would enjoy people criticism. He will enjoy people criticizing him more than praising him. He's telling you, if you investigate and if you examine the matters carefully, you'll be happy with their criticism. Unlike the nature of human being. You look here and you say, what he's saying? We like people to acknowledge our efforts. When someone praises me, mashallah, you're a good speaker, you gave very nice speech, I will feel happy. But if someone came and said, that was a bad speech, I will be offended. He's telling you, if you were criticized, you should be more happier than if you were praised. And he will provide the reason. This is because if they praise you justly, if they praise him justly, and he becomes aware of their praise, it might make him vainglorious. And this would devalue his virtues. You will become arrogant. Now, you'll prepare your speech. How many people will praise me today? How many people will tell me, mashallah, that was good speech? So now, your intention is the people. While if you prepare your speech, regardless of what people will say, yes, alhamdulillah, if they praised you, that's fine. But if you're only waiting for them to praise you, and you will grow arrogant time after time, then this is wrong. So in this case, actually, criticism is better. At least it will keep your intention. You will lose the virtue because you changed your intention now when they praise you. Now, this is one thing. And the other thing, if they praise him unjustly, now let's say they were wrong. You gave really a nice speech, but someone, he misunderstood you, or he did not listen carefully, or he's picking on you. So if they praise him unjustly, and he becomes aware of their praise, he would attain happiness from that which is false. And this would be a grave fault. Now someone praised you, and you deserve this praise. This is the first case. Someone praised you, and you deserve this praise. Even this, he's telling you that's wrong, because you will become arrogant. You will feel, subhanAllah, mashallah, that's good. Next time, how many people will praise me? Next time, how many people will praise me? The other case, you delivered very bad speech. Yet someone came and he praised you. He said, mashallah, today you mentioned 8 ayat while you only mentioned 3 ayat. And also you became happy with this praise while it's unjust. He's telling you this is wrong. How you become happy with something you did not do? This is a grave fault. Look at the leaders of third world countries. Every day and night in newspapers, They say they did this, they did that, they are the most just people, and they are happy with it, while actually they did not do anything good. Now, why would you improve yourself if people are praising you unjustly? So this is a grave fault. That's why praise is not good. So you should not be happy with the praise. If they praise you justly, this will cause you to become arrogant. If they praise you unjustly, this will cause you to become happy with something you didn't know. Imagine if someone came and said, MashaAllah, every night you do Qiyam al-Layl, and you say, you nod your head, while you never prayed Qiyam al-Layl. Is this good or bad? You did not do it. So you should not be happy with it. So, inshallah, we will end with this. This is the end of our session. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.